So my plan for tonight is to talk primarily and first about aspects of the Haggadah. And then at the end of my Shabbos Haggadah Drasha, or towards the latter part of it, segue based upon the Drasha into some reflections about Pesach during a pandemic. We hope will be the end game of the plan of the pandemic. But let's start with the Torah part. The Mishnah in Psachim, Arvei Psachim, the 10th Perek, famously says, after describing the four questions that are asked, a little bit different than ours, the Mishnah says, Lefi daito shel ben aviv melamdo. Father should teach a child according to his cognitive capacities. Maschil b'gnus u'misayim b'shvach. He begins with gnus, with the negative beginnings of Klal Yisrael, what's shameful or bad about those beginnings. U'misayim b'shvach, and ends with praise. V'doresh, and he darshens be'arami oved avi. That parsha in the Torah, which derives from Mikra Bikurim, we'll talk about that soon. Achi Igmar kala parsha kula, until he finishes the whole parsha. So the Mishnah says that one is supposed to be maschil b'gnus u'misayim b'shvach. The Mishnah does not cite a basis for that. And so one question we need to ask is, what is the basis for? Where does the Mishnah get this? Secondly, what is exactly does it mean, maschil b'gnus u'misayim b'shvach? What is the gnus with which we begin? And what is the shvach, the praise, with which we end? So there is a very famous machlokas between Rav and Shmuel on exactly that question. Daf Kuf Tes Zayin Amin Aleph Maseches Psachim. A very famous Rav says, Mitchila Ovdei Avodos Kol Galulim Hayu Avoseinu. This is based on a pasuk in Yehoshua, which forms one of the bases of the Haggadah on Yehoshua's deathbed. And again, we're going to talk about that a little bit more. As he was about to die, he recounted the history of the Jewish people. And he started that by saying, Mitchila ovde avodas kochavim hayu avoseinu, describing the pagan origins of the Jewish people in the person of Terach, who father of Avram, and in general, people in those days were all over the Avodah Zarah before Avram discovered Das HaEmes, the true religion, as the Rambam puts it. So that's Rav's position. Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel says, no, that's not the gnus with which one begins. The gnus is Avadim Hayinu, that we were all slaves in Mitzrayim. We were all slaves to Hashem in Mitzrayim. So kind of a basic machlokas between Rav and Shmuel as to how we begin the Haggadah. Tavadim Hayinu, or with Mas, or with Michila Ovdei Avodos Chachavim Hayu Avoseinu. Beginning, does the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim begin with slavery, or does it begin with pagan worship of gods? Now, most Rishonim maintain that Rav and Shmuel are not really disagreeing. They both, or they more accurately, they most Rishonim cite both Rav and Shmuel's position. In fact, our Haggadah, in fact, incorporates both of them. And they say that both should be said. Rambam and Mishnah Torah says the same thing, that it's not either or, it's not a binary choice, either Mitchila Ovdei Avodos Chachavim, pagan origins, or Avadim Hayinu. It's a disjunction in the classical logical sense where both could be true, but also one. In other words, they're really debating which one to stress, but they both concede that both are fundamental to the story of Mitzrayim. The question is exactly what are they debating? So that's the Mishnah and that's the Gemara. Now let's turn to the Rambam and Mishnah Torah. And the Rambam here is really quite puzzling. And many Mefarshim have struggled with it. In Perek Zion of Hilchos Chametz Matzah, where Rambam lays out the halachas of the Seder, he starts by saying in Perek Aleph, mitzvah saseh shel haTorah l'saper b'nisim v'niflo shenasu l'avoseinu b'mitzrayim b'leil chamisha asur b'nisa. The mitzvah saseh in the Torah to talk about the miracles that Hashem performed for us in Mitzrayim. Skipping a little bit, he says, v'tzarech l'haschel b'gnusu l'sayim b'shvach and halachatah. And you have to begin with gnus and end with shvach. And how does the Rambam define it? Ketzad ma'aschilu m'saper b'shebetchilu hayu avoseinu b'mei terach, the days of Terach, and before him they were heretics. They erred after folly and they chased after avodas chachavim, but a messiah, but it ended with our affirmation of true faith in Hashem, because Hashem brought us close to him. And then he says, also we start with avodam ayinu. So it sounds like, according to the Rambam, the Haggadah would begin with maschil b'gnusu messiah b'shvach. It would begin with Rav, Michila Ovdei Avodas Chachavim Hayu Avoseinu, and then it would segue into Avodim Ayinu, we were servants. Right? That's what the Rambam says, right? However, the catch is that the Rambam's own Haggadah, his Haggadah is published in Mishneh Torah, and his own Haggadah started with Avodim Ayinu, not with Michila Ovdei Chachavim Hayu Avoseinu. But the Rambam seems to be saying that the story begins with Mitchila. So why does his own Haggadah, like our Haggadah, start earlier with Avodim Ayinu? Sounds like the Rambam's Haggadah contradicts what he says in Mishneh Torah. But that's not half the problem, because if you look carefully at the text of the Mishneh Torah, you will see that the Rambam seems to contradict himself within the text itself. Because you'll recall, he started at Halacha Aleph by saying that a mitzvah saseh in the Torah to tell of the nisim and the flos. And then he goes on to say, how do we know that? You got to tell a binecha bayom ahu, you should tell your sons on that, children on that day, even if they're chachamim. And he goes on to say that you should tell your children, even if they don't ask, and you should tell them that avadim hayinu. That's what you should tell the kids. So if you look at the flow of the Rambam's text, it sounds like you fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, of relating the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, with avadim hayinu. It says, v'yigadu to labinecha, which is, of course, the mitzvah. That's how the Rambam derives the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and you fulfill the mitzvah they got into Labinicha by saying Avodim Ayinu. That's what the Rambam says explicitly. So we have a kind of a contradiction within the text of the Rambam himself. Does the Haggadah begin with Mitchila Ovdei Avodas Chachavim Hayu Avoseinu, which is what the Rambam seems to say in Perek Dalet, or does the Haggadah begin with Avodim Ayinu, which is his own Haggadah? Does our Haggadah does, and the Rambam's text suggests, even in the Mishneh Torah, that would make sense, right? So we have a problem. Now, the Malbim, I saw this cited in a sefer called Hegyonei Halacha, answers one of the questions anyway by saying that the Avodim Hayinu in the Haggadah is really a prologue, an introduction to the mitzvah of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim really begins with Mitchila Ovdei Avodas Chachavim Hayu Avoseinu, exactly as the Rambam says in Halacha Dalet. That's where it begins. That's what the Rambam says. That's where the Haggadah starts. Well, you'll say it says Avodim Ayinu before then. That's really a prologue. It's an introduction. It's not a part of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, that explanation is good, but only in a very limited way. It explains the contradiction between Rambam's Haggadah and his Mishneh Torah, but it does not address the internal contradiction within the Mishneh Torah. So we're not all the way there. I came across a really interesting explanation by Rav Soloveitchik, Zatzal, which appears in a sefer called Hararei Kedem, which is a wonderful, wonderful collection of shiurim that Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal gave on the Yomim Tovim, Shoshana, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuos. And he has a really, really novel, very creative solution to this problem. What he says is essentially as follows. Haggadah begins with Avadim Hayinu. As the Rambam says in his own Haggadah, and as he says in the Lachad Aleph and Beis, you got it to Labincha, what do you tell your kids? Avadim Hayinu. What's then with this Maschil Begnusu Messiah and Beshvach? What's that all about? And this harkened back to the original question I asked you, like, what's the source of the Mishnah? So the Rambam, so Rav Soloveitchik suggested really novel idea that Maschil Begnusu Messiah and Beshvach is not a din in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It has nothing to do with the mitzvah of telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's Avadim Hayinu, period, end of story. What then is this Maschil Begnus about? What's it all about if it's not a part of the mitzvah of telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Answer, says Rav Soloveitchik, it's about gratitude. It's about the obligation to show gratitude to Hashem for everything he has done for us. Remember that Arami Oved Avi, that which is the basis of the Shmuel's interpretation, really, that we started out as Avadim Hayinu, we started out as slaves, that was said in the context, that's what the Mishnah says, V'dorash mi Arami Oved Avi, that's the bulk of our Haggadah, our drushes on that, Parsha and Kisavo, Havas Bikurim, it's about bringing Bikurim. Now, what's the mitzvah of bringing Bikurim? Bikurim are the firstborn, first fruits. What's the mitzvah of bringing the first fruits? It's gratitude. To show gratitude to Hashem for blessing Jews living in Eretz Yisrael with first fruits. It's designed to say, look, it's not all coming from us, you know, we're the farmers, but Hashem is the one who brings the rain. He makes the seeds grow. So we express gratitude to Hashem. We recognize that it's Hashem's doing ultimately, and our general well-being is ultimately in Hashem's hand. And so we thank Hashem for that. That's the mitzvah of Bikurim. And the Rambam argues that the mitzvah of Maschil, Rav Soloveitchik argues, the mitzvah of Maschil is also about expressing gratitude to Hashem. We thank Hashem. Look how we started and says, oh, we were slaves and you brought us to freedom. And we became believers in Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. Baruch Hashem. So the mitzvah is not Maschil Begnusu Messiah Mishlach. The mitzvah is not about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's Avadim Hayinu. Rather, it's about expressing gratitude. That's a really interesting idea. It's a tremendous chiddush because if you look at the Haggadah, look at the Rambam, it seems like the Rambam says, he's continuing his discussion of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias, and he says, U'maschil, and you begin. So it sounds like it's a segue to the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So as novel as Rav Soloveitchik's interpretation is, I don't think it's the simplest reading. It's a tremendous chiddush. And also, as I say, it doesn't seem to fit the context of the Mishnah Torah, where Maschil Begnusu Messiah Beshvach appears in the context of the mitzvah of telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So I'd like to suggest a different approach entirely, neither the Malbim's approach nor Soloveitchik's approach. And I will share it with you for your consideration. The basic framework is that Maschil Begnusu Messiah Beshvach is about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he fulfilled the mitzvah of Igadar to Labincha with however Rav or Shmuel, starting with Avadim Hayinu, starting with Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah, we were pagans, we were slaves. That's all a part of the key in the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But that doesn't mean that you don't fulfill the mitzvah with Avadim Hayinu. you fulfill the mitzvah with Avodah Mayinu too. That's why the Rambam starts his Haggadah that way, and that's implied in the Mishnah Torah. So what then is Maskel Bagnusu Messiah Mishvah? So to answer that question, and to help understand what the Rambam is doing as I interpret it, I'd like to distinguish between an event itself and what I would call its narrative context, the context within which we place that event when we tell a story about it. And I'll give you a simple example of this. You're standing on the corner of Avenue L and Coney Island Avenue, and you see a car going 60 miles an hour down Avenue L. So one way to tell that story is, I was standing on the corner of Avenue L, there was this crazy guy, maniac, driving 60 miles an hour down Avenue L. The man was crazy. He's endangering lives. What is he doing? It's terrible. One way to tell the story. Here's another way to tell the story. This man's wife was about to have a baby, and Hatzolah wasn't coming fast enough, and he couldn't wait for them. So he jumped in his car and he raced to the nearest hospital going 60 miles an hour. The same event took place. Somebody driving his car 60 miles an hour down Avenue L. But the context of that event, the narrative context, that is to say, the context we put that event in when we tell the story of what happened, dramatically differs between these two stories. Same event, car racing down Avenue L 60 miles an hour, but the framework is totally different. And so how you frame, or the context within which you put events, can dramatically alter, or sometimes just subtly alter, the significance of the events about which you are telling, right? I've given you dramatic differences, but there can be sometimes subtle differences too. How you tell a story can shade, can nuance, can interpret events. And so the events themselves are embedded in a larger story, and that larger story contextualizes for the teller the events in question. And so I would suggest to you that both Rav and Shmuel agree that the basic event is Avodah Mayinu. We were slaves. That's the basic event of Yetzias, and Hashem took us out. That's the basic event of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And you fulfill the mitzvah of Sipra Yetzias Mitzrayim if you just relate that core event. Because that's what happened. That's the core event. That's the basic event. That's traveling 60 miles an hour down Avenue L. The question is, what meaning do we invest in that event by the stories we tell about it? How do we embed it? And I'd like to suggest that's really what the debate between Rav and Shmuel is about. But let me step back a little bit to contextualize that context. So there are three places in Tanakh where the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim is told. As far as I know, only three places. Well, I shouldn't say that. Tehillim has its own story up until Tehillim. Three key places. Number one, Shmos, Parshas Bo. That's where we read about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, that's the basic, that's obvious. But there are two other narratives which appear in the earlier strata of Tanakh, and that is Arami Ovid Avi in Havas Bikurim. Let me just refresh your memory to read you a little parts of it. It goes as follows. When you come into the land that Hashem gives you, and you will take the first of your fruits, you will go to the Kohen in that day, and you will tell him that Hashem has brought us, and I came into the land that Hashem promised to us, and you give the Kohen this basket full of fruits, and then you respond to the Kohen and you say, Arami Oved Avi, Arami sought to destroy my father, by Yared Mitzrayim, he went into Mitzrayim, by Yogarsham, the Mesema Ut, and we were a very small population, by He Sham Lagod Godol, Otsum Varov, we multiplied ourselves vastly in Mitzrayim, by Yoreyu Osanu HaMitzrayim, the Mitzrayim were evil to us, they afflicted us with hard work, we screamed to Hashem, Hashem heard our voice, he saw our torment, and he took us out of Mitzrayim, and he brought us into this land. That's one Tanakhic retelling of Parshas Bo, what happened as primarily told in Sefer Bo. That's one. The other early retelling comes from Sefer Yehoshua. I mentioned this earlier. This is Yehoshua on his deathbed. He's ready, almost on his deathbed. He's ready to die. And he gathers together B'nai Yisrael, and he tells them, he gives them a beautiful speech. Be'ever anar Yoshua v'osecha mi'olam terach avi Avram v'avi Nachar. He came from Terach avi Avram, the father of Nachar. V'ayavdu Elohim acherim, you worshipped other gods. But I took you from the other side of the river Avram, brought you there as Canaan, your children, Yitzchak and Yaakov, Esav, I gave Esav Har Seir. I sent Moshe and Aaron and plagues, and I took you out of Mitzrayim. And the story basically continues. You came into the Yarden. Hashem brought us here to this day. And I gave you these cities in Eretz Canaan. Ba'atad, he concludes, Yiruas Hashem, fear Hashem, v'ivdu oso, and serve him, v'tamim, with integrity, with wholeness of heart, of the MS, truth, don't worship those pagan gods. And it continues. So two basic stories. And if you think about it, Rav and Shmuel draw from each of these stories. Rav draws from Yehoshua, which stresses Mechila Ovdei Avodos HaChayim HaKochavim Hayu Avoseichem. That's Rav. Starts with pagan. That's the beginning of our story, paganism. Where Shmuel draws from Arami Ovid Avi, which immediately talks about we were in Mitzrayim, we were Avadim. So Rav and Shmuel, in their own ways, drew from these biblical sources to create a context for understanding and shaping the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, there are differences between them, which I'll talk about soon. But first, let's look at the similarities. The similarity between Yehoshua and Devarim, first of all, it's Maskil B'Gnosu B'Shayim B'Shvach, right? That's the key similarity. That is the source of the Mishnah. Remember, I asked you, where does the Mishnah get this with Maskil B'Gnosu B'Shayim B'Shvach? How does the Mishnah know it? I asked you that question. Well, the answer is it came from either from both Kisavo and Yehoshua. Both of them are Maskil B'Gnosu B'Shayim B'Shvach. So that is crucial. That's the source of the Mishnah. But let's now reflect about this a little more deeply. What is the point of this Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? So here I'm going to work with the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim. The Rambam has, in the third volume of the Moreh Nevuchim, part of the third volume is devoted to Ta'amei HaMitzvos, to explain the reasons for mitzvah. And the Rambam explains the reason for the mitzvah of Bikurim, as he explains the reason for the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Seder night. What he says about Bikurim is, and I quote, as for the reading on the occasion of the offering of first fruits, it is also conducive to the moral quality of humility. For it is carried out by him who carries the basket on his shoulders. It contains an acknowledgement of Hashem's beneficence and bountifulness, so that man should know that it is a part of the divine worship that man should remember states of distress at a time when he prospers. It's designed to cultivate humility. You think we're a rich farmer who's farming the lands of Yehud, Shevet Yehuda, it's all you're doing. No, you should be grateful to Hashem that he brought the rain you needed and the crops you needed, and things worked out. So the mitzvah of Bikurim, we give first fruits to the Kohen, representing Hashem, to show that it's all Hashem's hand. So the Rambam says that is the main reason for the mitzvah of Bikurim, and lo and behold, how does Rambam explain the mitzvah of Pesach and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? He says this in third book, chapter 43. He says that, talking about Pesach and Shavuos, but he says the purpose of this is it consists in man's always remembering the days of stress and the days of prosperity, so that his gratitude to Hashem should become great, and so that he should achieve humility and submission. Is that not interesting that for Rambam, the reason both for Havas Bikurim and for Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is to cultivate within us our humility? We suffered, we were slaves, and Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. We should be grateful to Hashem, humbly recognize our own limitations in gratitude to Hashem. Same humility that you find in Havas Bikurim. And so, the point is to cultivate the virtues of humility, of gratitude to Hashem, and submission, recognizing that we're not masters of our own destiny. So what then is the moral and intellectual program of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? It's about cultivating the virtues, the midos tovos of anava, of humility, showing gratitude towards Hashem and recognizing that we are dependent upon Hashem entirely. We have to thank Hashem for that. That's a very important point. We tend to think of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim has to do with, retelling our historical origins. No, it's about midos tovos. It's also, of course, about cultivating belief in Hashem as the supreme power who can perform miracles and take us out of Mitzrayim, but it's especially about cultivation of humility. And the question becomes, what then is the machlokus between Rav and Shmuel about, and how do you cultivate that humility? Before I answer that question, I'd like to make a preliminary comment. And the preliminary comment is that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is a story. That's what Sipur is, a story. There are different kinds of stories in literature. And one story, I think, fits as the best description of our history as Jews. If you don't mind, or if you'll pardon a scholarly term, which is really German in origin, it's called a Bildungsroman. You hear that expression? Anybody take literature, comparative literature in college? Bildungsroman. Roman is a narrative or a story, and Bildung is a building. And one classic genre of literature in general is a hero embarks on a quest. He meets up with many, many challenges, or she meets up with many challenges along the way. Those challenges are formative. He or she confronts them, struggles, suffers, but emerges the better, more mature person as a consequence of that journey through challenge and suffering. There is a building, which emerges from challenge and suffering. And I think that is the apt characterization of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, is the Bildungsroman of the Jewish people. It's how we started out, and we'll talk about that in a second, and we suffered and we were avadim and we had such a hard time, but Hashem saved us and we become better and we believe in Hashem as a result of all the suffering. And we have been brought to Eretz Yisrael. Jewish history is not static. It doesn't oscillate. It's fundamentally a story, at least the earlier parts of Jewish history, are fundamentally a story of growth and development and meeting challenges. And that is really the story of our lives in general. We grow up, we have challenges, we meet with difficulties, we struggle with them, and we emerge better people. The question is, what is the Bildungsroman? What is the Bildung? What is the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim? And here we come to the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, and I want to look at it from the perspective of that Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim, where the point of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, one key point anyway, is to cultivate the midah of humility. And how do we do that? How do we do that? So Shmuel's answer, which is derived from Arami Oved Avi, Shmuel's answer is that we start basically with Avadim Hayinu. We were slaves. And with Hashem's miraculous intervention, we were saved and brought to Eretz Yisrael. We were saved from persecution, from slavery, and we become secure, at least at that time, in our land. But why were we persecuted? Why are Jews persecuted in general? I think the key idea here is that Jews throughout their history have led a very fragile life. Our history is a history of a people who were and are fragile. If you think about our very beginnings, Arami Oved Avi, before we even got started as a people, somebody was trying to come, didn't get started yet. Lavan had the project of trying to destroy us. We didn't get started yet. Give me a break. And we finally became Goy Adol. First of all, Avram was persecuted. Look at Avram. He was persecuted. Why was Avram persecuted? Why was he thrown into the Kivshan Ha'Eish, fiery furnace? Because he believed in Hashem and he rejected Avodah Zarah. And so for faith, we were punished. We suffer. Jews throughout history have been subject to persecution and anti-Semitism precisely because of our loyalty to Hashem. Who do people attack? It's the people who are visibly Jewish. People who are not visibly Jewish may not be so readily attacked because they're not so visibly Jewish. So our faith gets us into trouble. But here's the disturbing irony. It's our faithlessness as well which gets us into trouble. Because Hayem Shemo Atishmo, if you listen to Hashem, everything will be great if you follow the mitzvahs. What happens if you don't? All bets are off. You suffer. So the irony is we suffer for being faithful to Hashem as emissaries of Hashem on this earth. And unfortunately, we suffer for faithlessness to Hashem. And so if we fail to believe, and so at the end of the day, our situation is very fragile, and anti-Semitism has haunted us throughout our history. Iran is not exactly a friend of the Jews in the Eretz Yisrael. Still have many challenges. Hamas, and look at the rise in anti-Semitism in this country as well, on the far right, also on the far left. So, what better way to cultivate the humility, the anava, the midah of anava that the Rambam says is the point of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, than by reflecting about the fragility of the Jewish people? Of course we should be humble. Who are we? Look how much we've suffered over the years. Look how much Iran still hates us, and Baruch Hashem, Israel is a very strong country. But the Jewish people are fundamentally fragile. We are fundamentally dependent upon Hashem that is conducive towards our anava as a people. We should not be arrogant. Israelis shouldn't be arrogant. We shouldn't be arrogant. We may have won a lot of Nobel Prizes, but at the end of the day, we are dependent upon Hashem. The Torah says that's why Eretz Yisrael depends upon rain for its crops, not the Nile, which always flows, not from springs underground, but from rain. Means we always have to daven to Hashem, because rain comes or it doesn't come. Nobody can, even to this very day, we can't solve the problems of drought. Can't, even with contemporary science, bring rainfalls if there's a real heavy drought as there was in the West Coast not long ago. And so Eretz Yisrael is particularly sensitive, particularly fragile because of its dependence on rain and not on other forms of hydration. And so if the point, as the Rambam says in the Mor Nevuchim, of Sibur Tzias Yisrael is anava, dependence on Hashem, cultivating that feeling, what better way of communicating that to us within ourselves is by starting with Avada Mayenu. Starting with, we have started as slaves, Arami Ovidav even before them. So that is Shmuel's interpretation, as I think the Rambam would understand it, given his understanding of the program, the purpose of Sibur Yitzchak. Rav, however, disagrees. For him, the central building, the central growth, is not about our fragility, but about our faith. The central drama of Jewish history is not about our tenuous survival as a people, which for Shmuel is how we frame, we contextualize the story of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. But rather for Rav, it's about our spiritual journey from paganism to belief in Hashem. Remember, these are both contexts for a core event, like the story of the car racing 60 miles an hour down Avenue L. That happened. How do we understand it? So Shmuel's context is about fragility. It's about anti-Semitism, Arami Ovid Avi. That's how you understand and frame the story of the core event of Avada Mayenu, because that's what leads to humility, fragility. Rav says, no, the fundamental context, the fundamental frame of the key event of Avada Mayenu is our spiritual journey. We started out as pagans. And we ended up as believers in Hashem. And so for him, it's about not fragility for Rav, but it's about faith. And it's the journey of our faith. And I would argue that Rav, I would suggest to you that Rav would argue that that's really the deeper story than Shmuel's. Because why are we fragile? Has to do with our faith or lack thereof. So fundamentally, the story is about faith. Faith impacts for Rav fragility. Fragility emerges from our faithfulness to Hashem or our lack of faithfulness to Hashem. And so the deepest drama of Jewish history is writ in our souls, writ within us, not writ within the lives we lead. And the journey of our souls is the journey of the quest for faith in Hashem in the context of ancient paganism. Notice how Yehoshua concludes his story, which is the story of Mechila Ovdei Avodah Zarah. That's Rav's basis. Notice how Yehoshua, I read it to you before, I'll read it again. I think it's very important. Yehoshua says, V'atah, that's how he concludes the story. Yiru es Hashem, fear Hashem, the ivdu oso betamim, and serve him with wholeness, uve emes in truth, and reject the avodah chachavim. That's the end game. That's the conclusion of the story. If the story is about our spiritual evolution from pagans, Yehoshua on his deathbed says, keep the end game in mind. Serve Hashem, fear Hashem, because that is the culmination of our lives. So, certainly, for both Rav and Shmuel, this is the story of Jewish history. But for Shmuel, it's primarily a national challenge of fragility, whereas for Rav, at the root of that national challenge is an individual challenge, the challenge of faith. And I think that emerges from what Joshua says. Yiru, he says. Yiru Hashem, fear Hashem. Where does fear take place? Doesn't take place in the polis, doesn't take place in the political arena, doesn't take place fundamentally in the battlefield. It takes place in our hearts. It's within us. And so as the national picture of redemption for Rav is ultimately a story of individual redemption. And that's how we tell our story. And by the way, the Rambam favors Rav. He starts with Rav, and so that's consistent. Rambam is consistent as being, that's the fundamental story of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. So, to summarize, you fulfill the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim by saying Avadim Hayinu, that's fine. What's at stake is the context of that story. What does it mean to say we were slaves and we were liberated? What does it mean? For Rav, it's about survival amidst challenges and the fragility of Jewish life, which should lead to an awareness of humility before Hashem and dependence upon Him. That's for Shmuel, but for Rav, it's about the context of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's about individuals within a nation discovering their true faith in Hashem. So hopefully that helps us understand the Rambam and all those problems we start with. I'd like to conclude with some reflections about the implications of this for us today. We are living in a pandemic. Hopefully, we are nearing the end. A year ago this time, you all recall, I'm sure, the Maschil Bignus, the horrifying beginnings of that pandemic when New York was clobbered, and that's to put it into abstracted term, individuals were dying, human beings, at the rate of 800 a day. We were all profoundly frightened, scared. It was a terrifying time. I think all of us would agree. And, you know, it's been a year. Who can believe that it's been a year? And we're not out of the woods yet. Baruch Hashem, there has been very significant progress. Vaccinations, as of course you all know. And by the way, I just saw the news today that starting tomorrow, anybody over the age of 50 is eligible to receive a vaccination. So I will editorialize or step out of my Dvar Torah just for a minute and beseech each and every one of you who's over 50, if you haven't already done so, get a vaccine. Get vaccinated. Don't take any chances. We all know of people who have died from COVID, or have gotten very, very, very sick from COVID, are sick right now, very ill with COVID. Don't tough it out. Can't outsmart a virus. You can have a very strong immune system and then all of a sudden, boom, there's a stronger variant. I beseech you, out of the depths of my heart, get vaccinated if you can. Work at it. If you're eligible above the age of 50, get cracking immediately. And there should be more and more vaccines available during this month. I'm sure you've all read the same news I have. Take advantage of that. And don't, you know, ain't somkhan halanesh. You can't rely on miracles. We've got to do our histadlus. And these vaccines are safe. Say that myself, I'm vaccinated. Don't take any chances, this is life and death. That's aside from people I know and many of you around the Zoom table know who are ill. Don't take any chances, please get yourself vaccinated. You may have to make 50 calls or go onto 30 websites to find a spot, but don't give up, keep at it. And many of you who did that, I'm sure already are vaccinated. I'm sure that's what you had to do. So please, please, please take action. If you're over 50, you should be on the phone first thing tomorrow morning and getting that vaccine, and hopefully others will get it as well. But getting back to my point, we have lived through a historic time in world history. Just like Yetziat Lahavdil, but similarly too, analogous to Yetzias Mitzrayim, Avdus and Mitzrayim, and then Yetzias Mitzrayim, the foundations of Jewish history. And what follows from my analysis tonight is the events of the pandemic are the events of the pandemic. How do we contextualize the story? How are we going to tell the story of what we lived through during this year plus to those of us who have grandchildren or children or nieces or nephews or the children of close friends or others or friends? How are we going to tell the story? What context are we going to put the events we are still living through to make sense out of them and to be meaningful to us? Well, by analogy, we might say, and obviously, Robin Shmuel, we're not talking about the pandemic, but extrapolating, and this is Drush, but extrapolating from what Robin Shmuel would say, Shmuel would say, look how fragile our lives are. And the story of the pandemic is the story of the ways in which weird viruses from bats in Wuhan or some laboratory in Wuhan or wherever transform the world. Look how fragile our world is. Can't rely on things. You're ultimately dependent upon Hashem and Hashem's emissaries through the good offices of doctors and researchers and scientists and physicians and first responders and others who save many, many lives. Harbe shluchim lamacham, Hashem has many agents. But at the end of the day, all the science in the world could not March, April, May, June, July, or couldn't stop the coronavirus in its tracks. Human existence is fragile. Shmuel says that about Klal Yisrael is true in some broader sense for all human beings. And I think ultimately what we need to learn as we contextualize these events in our own lives for ourselves in broad strokes is the fragility of our own lives and our dependence upon Hashem for our well-being. And that's something we need to keep focused on. We need to keep focused on that. We depend upon Hashem for our well-being. Davening is about that, Tehillim are about that, and the pandemic has brought that home. And as we think broadly speaking about how we are going to tell that story, the story should, like Shmuel, be contextualized, I think, in that way, in broad strokes. And Rav would say the story of the pandemic would be contextualized. Again, he doesn't say this, I'm extrapolating via Drush. We can think about the story as being a matter of faith. What was our davening like during the pandemic? Did our davening intensify? Did we daven with more kavanah? What was our limud Torah like? Our gemilas chasadim? To what extent did our faith in Hashem buttress us? Our bitachon? We do the best we can. We're all obligated to be mistadel, to take every possible effort to protect ourselves. But nevertheless, at the end of the day, we have faith in Hashem that the events that unfold are ultimately in Hashem's hand. And the story that we should be telling about ourselves to others in the future, should we also be a story of faith and bitachon in Hashem? That should, for all of us, have been nurtured and grown over the course of this period. And I think it has for many people. I think both Rav and Shmuel's readings, I think, have been true of many of us. And the pandemic's not over. Whatever we did until now, we can intensify in the future. That's the broad strokes, the Rav and Shmuel broad strokes. But each and every one of us has our own personal stories to tell. It's not just a grand story, but what did we ourselves do as individuals during the course of this pandemic? And what can we tell others that we were proud of as we reflect back upon a pandemic that's passed? What did we do well? What could we have done better? How do we withstand this anxiety, the terrible fears we had? Did we reach out to others and help others if we were able to do that? Offer chizuk to others? Learn with others? Did we grow as we might have grown? And every person has his or her own story. Rav and Shmuel's are the broad strokes. I just read in today's Wall Street Journal that there is an industry of people writing memoirs. Lots of people are, you know, diaries of their experience of pandemic. I know a colleague of mine, when he was very, very ill with coronavirus, he wrote a diary of his experience. People are writing about their experiences during this year. And by the way, I don't think they're going to sell a lot of books, if they do at all. But it's a very useful way. I have not done it myself, so I'm just sharing this idea with you. Not something I've done myself, but it's probably a good idea. Gives you an opportunity as you write things out to reflect about what you did do, you didn't do, how you could do it better, what's happening in your life. It's an outlet, probably healthy. But the point I want to make fundamentally is that we all have our own stories to tell, our own particular challenges, fears, anxieties, ways that we had of reaching out, of helping others, of doing something more, doing something a little different. Nobody was untouched by the pandemic. And so we all have our own sipur to tell, the context, the frame that we want to transmit beyond the pandemic itself. And there's still time, because unfortunately we're not over with it. There is still time to write our story, to frame it, to contextualize it, to do more, to do better in ways that work for us. There's still time. It's not over, unfortunately. And so what we should do, to the extent that we can, let's hope that the pandemic is gone. Month, 2 months, 4 months, 5 months, whatever it is, only Hashem knows, nobody can predict. Experts have been wrong many, many times. However long it lasts, that's an opportunity for us to shape our story, to frame it in ways that are meaningful to us, so that when we look back upon this awful, awful year of loneliness and pain and challenge and anxiety, we'll have a story to tell. That was rough going, just like Avdus and the Mitzrayim was rough going. We'll have a story to tell that may be uplifting also in its retelling and help others who will in the future suffer from other kinds of challenges. And it behooves all of us to be maschil b'gnusu m'sayim b'shvach in our way of framing, contextualizing the historic event in which we are living. We need to come up with a story, a narrative, not the maniac racing down the street, Avenue L, but the good husband who was trying to get his wife to the hospital. We need to do the kinds of things that will enable us to tell stories that uplift and not that drag us down. So it's a challenge. It's a challenge. It's been a challenging, terrifying, difficult year. And now is the time, really, with Zman Geula Senu, Pesach, Nisan is the time of redemption, the time of Geula. And it's a time that we see the beginning of our Geula from our contemporary Avdus, our contemporary suffering, which we hope will come immediately. But as we struggle through it, it's a time to be goel ourselves, time to redeem ourselves and make the stories that we can tell and will tell, stories that will help human beings well into the future. So let's tell that story and do our best to tell it well. I wish you all a Chag Kosher v'Sameach, a yontif of health, happiness. Let's all daven collectively for those who are ill, including those from the shul and those outside the shul and acquaintances, friends, people we don't know, anybody. Should be in our tefillos, and may good health come to all of us. Get vaccinated, everybody. And may the yontif be a yontif of simcha, joy, of health for every single one of us, for all of Klal Yisrael. Have a chag kasher v'sameach.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Rabbi. Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi. Beautiful words.
Thank you so much.
Thank you also to Amichai, who also sponsored, wishing everyone a chag sameach.
Yeah. Wow.